of what is necessary to get there. But all of them are based on putting himself in the position of experiencing the maximum state of well-being. Now, suppose a particular plan I have chosen involves getting over, say, 10 hurdles between now and the time I get to the state that will give me well-being, the circumstances. Well, what is going to happen to me after I pass the first hurdle of the 10 on my way to this goal? Well, obviously, I'm going to get a dose of well-being. Not as large an amount of well-being as what I expect to get at the end of the rainbow, but a small increment of it, based on the realization that I am now closer to the goal. I am, in effect, pleased with my progress. And then, as the hurdles are progressively cleared, the doses of well-being will continue, but never as large individually as what is expected at the conclusion of this 10-hurdle process. They are only samples of what I believe I will experience at the end of the line. Now, it must be recognized that I can be falsely anticipating the happiness I will get from this particular pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Just making $1 million, for example, may not give me the happiness I expected all the time I was working so hard to get it. But this doesn't change the fact that my belief of what is to come is going to cause anticipation and pleasure at each step of the way. What will determine the depth of the minor rewards along the way is, of course, the depth of conviction that I have that I am correct in getting there, or correct in my means that I have chosen to get there. The more I have thought out and carefully constructed a long-term project to determine the well-being I can get from the successful completion of a program, then the more conviction I have in the rightness of that program. And the greater my conviction, the greater the well-being I will get in the doses along the way, because I am sure that this is on the right track, so each successful clearing of a hurdle is going to be that much more important. If, on the other hand, I'm not really sure of what I'm doing, and I'm not really sure that this goal I have in mind is very important, then the progress that I make along the way is going to be accompanied by mixed emotions, because I'm not really sure it's progress. So what I am doing, of course, all along the way, is registering progress reports. And self-esteem is simply the individual's satisfaction with his own progress toward happiness. And approval by others would give you the same sort of reaction. If another person approves of your actions, for instance, it means he is endorsing your conduct. He's saying, in effect, I believe your conduct will lead to your happiness. If you respect his opinion, you're going to derive self-esteem from his compliment, meaning he is confirming your belief that you're on the right track, and this gives you greater conviction in it because you respect his opinion. But if you don't respect his opinion, then it's going to be meaningless to you that he has complimented you, because as a matter of fact, it could even cause you to reappraise what you're doing, because if he likes it, there must be something wrong with it. But I don't believe I need to labor these points anymore. What I'm doing is saying that well-being can come in large and small doses, and that many of these doses will be progress reports rather than goals themselves or ends. And we just do not want to confuse the well-being that is created by self-esteem with that which is an end in itself, meaning an act of pure consumption, an act in which the happiness you derive from it is purely for its own sake of that act and that time in itself. And I do not believe, as some people do, that happiness is only pursued, never achieved. Happiness is achieved by everyone at some time in his life, and by some people quite often in their lives. Any dose of well-being you get, any state of well-being, mental well-being, is happiness. It's just that you may not have the durability of it that you would like. You may be able to conceive of a better position in which you could have more durable happiness and less interferences of unhappiness, less obstructions. Self-esteem cannot be an end in itself because it must presuppose a larger standard by which to rate oneself, and that larger standard would then have to be the greater goal. I think we can sum up area number 2 of one's code of conduct, meaning your relationship to yourself, thusly. You begin by recognizing that you are what you are and no one else. Don't let anyone bully you into trying to act from a nature that is other than yourself. You must recognize your limitations. In some areas, you will work very hard to expand upon these limitations.